You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Well, 7:02 right now. It is Teaching Tuesday, Kelly, and we all know what that means. We need to get schooled. And so this morning, for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week, we are getting schooled by Nancy Fitzgerald, Executive Director and Founder of Anchors Away Ministry, to talk about why it matters that Jesus rose bodily from the grave. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Well, good morning, Steve, and hi, Kelly.
Good morning. How was your Resurrection Sunday?
Whoa, it was terrific. To church, that was wonderful. And then, of course, for some reason, there was always an egg hunt with all these kids running around with 1,000 eggs. You know what I mean? Then somebody throws it to somebody. And yeah, it was a joyful event.
For some reason, there's all these kids around chasing eggs. I don't know why.
It was fun. It was great.
That is great. You act surprised.
That is a hoot.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, we're glad that you had a lovely time and you had a great Easter Resurrection Sunday. But speaking of resurrection, why in the world is it so important that Jesus rose physically, bodily from the grave?
Yeah, and you know, you've been talking about joy today. There'd be no such concept of joy if he hadn't. So one of many, many, many reasons, but I think when we look into it, the idea of a man being pronounced dead as he was, remember when the centurion put the sword in his side and out came water and blood, which is a sign, a medical sign that the heart has stopped and that body is dead. He was declared dead, pronounced dead by the executioners. But then coming to life after being buried in a tomb for 3 days is humanly impossible. And it's the main reason why so many people today don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, because it doesn't make sense to the pragmatic mind that is not aware that Jesus is no ordinary man. He's the Son of God. He's God. And for a man to die and then come back to life, and keep in mind, people say, well, yeah, what about Lazarus or that boy who was dead and he brought back to life and this and that and the other. But those people died again. You know, it wasn't eternal, but for Jesus, you know, it's amazing. He came back to life never to die again, to live forever. He would have to be God. And Jesus claimed to be God and predicted, again, showing his godhood, he foretold that he would be killed and be risen again after 3 days. We see this in John 2:19-21, where Jesus says, and Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. It's just beautiful.
Now, the prophet Isaiah, and we've been looking into this off and on too, Nancy, you know, just apart from what we're talking about today, but Isaiah spoke 800 years before Jesus' death on the cross about why it matters. Talk about that. What was so significant about Isaiah and his prophecy regarding this?
Yes, it again ties in with what you all have been talking about. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it's probably the best known biblical reference to what was predicted that was going to happen right down to the T. It says, Isaiah speaks here, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. There we see this idea of being pierced. Oh my goodness, way before crucifixion was even thought of. But what is so beautiful about this, Steve, it's the same thing you were talking about, this joy, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, brought us peace. There it is. He gave us peace when we didn't deserve it. And with his wounds, we are healed. Healed from what? Healed from the penalty of sin, which is death. And if Jesus did not bodily raise from himself from the grave, then the words of Jesus and the prophets, including Isaiah, who predicted his death and resurrection, they would have to be called then frauds or lunatics or liars, as C.S. Lewis says. Paul says it best in 1 Corinthians 15, and I think people need to be reminded this is the gospel. This is the good news. Where do you find it? 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testify about God that he is raised, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also has come the resurrection of the dead. And this is, why does it matter? Because if he didn't raise from the dead, we're cooked. We're done. We have no hope, because there is no remedy, no fixing, no forgiveness of sins. And I think this is just such a powerful idea and lesson and truth that we have historically, that we know for a fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again. Therefore, we can be confident that our sins are forgiven.
Well, what does that mean, and how can we explain to other people the impact of Jesus's death and resurrection on our relationship with God? Because this is a catalyst moment. It is pivotal. It underpins everything that we believe in, and it's the basis of our relationship with God. So how do we simply explain this to others?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I tell our students and adults now that we're teaching, listen, the greatest proof of our faith, the greatest apologetic that we have, is the way we live it out. Do they see that joy in you? Do they? And how can we be, you know, cranky, really, human beings, and know that we are set free, we are healed, we are called to go to all the world, joy to the world, you know? And that's the most important, is that people will see joy in us and peace in us and hope in us. And we should be different, you know, and that's number one. But because Jesus died and rose again, we have peace with God. God paid the price for our sins. And again, when we believe in our hearts and souls, not just an academic kind of nod toward God, yeah, whatever, I believe, does that get me in? Not that, but believe with our hearts, in our soul, that he died and rose again, We will not have to pay the price of eternal death for our sins. That's the difference that it's made. God gives us a complete pardon. Not only does he pardon us, he forgets. He chooses in his godhood to forget our sins that have been pardoned. And instead of being enemies of God and deserving condemnation, we're reconciled to him. Listen, he calls us his children when we believe. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are his child. And you talk about something matters, that matters. He says here in Romans 8, 1 and 2, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus Christ from the law of sin and death.
Well, see, that is an important facet because, Nancy, we want to take a quick break and then come back and talk about what that means. What does that mean for us that the law of the Spirit of life has set us free? Well, it gives us access to grace, and we're going to cover that when we come back with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week in just a moment.
It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve and you on Moody Radio, Indiana. Call or text them now at 800-969-9467.
It is 7:16. You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve, and we're back with Nancy Fitzgerald, the executive director and founder of Anchors Away, based in Carmel, Biblical Worldview Ministry. And we're going to tell you in just a few minutes how to get connected with Nancy. And if you've got a young person in your family, high school, early college age, and you want to make sure that they're well equipped to stand firm in their faith, and as they're growing up and leaving home because they're going to be challenged, this would be a great ministry to get involved with. But we'll tell you how to get in touch in just a couple minutes.
That's right. And before we had broke away, we were talking Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. Now, that gives us what? Access to grace, right, Nancy? Because of what Jesus did, we have access to God's grace. Share with a little bit about why this resurrection matters.
You know, it really does. I'm thinking, Steve, for any listeners out there who are, you know, I was a skeptic for years, so I get you if you're listening and you're thinking, I'm just not convinced it happened. You know, I'm thinking, just to interject this, Simon Greenleaf, who was a royal professor at Harvard, yeah, actually, he helped bring Harvard Law School to preeminence, but he has been called the greatest authority on legal evidence in the history of the world. He was the number one guy. And when Greenleaf turned his mind upon the resurrection of Jesus and focused upon the light of all laws of evidence, he concluded that the resurrection of Jesus was a reality, that it was historically a historical event, and that anyone who examined the evidence for it honestly would be convinced that this was the case. He died and he rose again. I mean, it is amazing. Not is it only a historical fact, but the fallout in a good way for that, because our belief in Jesus as the Savior of the world who died for our sins, we have access to God's grace, not by what we do, not by trying to, you know, impress God in some way, but by our faith, by our heart faith in him. As Abraham believed God, it was counted to him by God and for righteousness. God's grace and pardon are given to us freely. That's why it matters. God has given us his grace. We don't get what we deserve. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace, meaning you can't purchase it, it is a gift, you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. I mean, that is amazing. It matters because when we believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, not only does he give us grace, but he gives us hope through the Holy Spirit that comes in to live in us forever. And this hope isn't something we wish for. The hope translated means assurance or certainty. And in this case, certainty here that when we die, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be with Jesus and we are going to live in perfect peace and harmony forever. Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Wow. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his spirit who lives in you. Oh my goodness. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in Kelly and you and you, Steve, and all believers. And that's the hope and that's the spirit that will be with us forever. And then 1 Peter 1:3-4, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance, there it is, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. This is greater than any inheritance you could receive in an earthly way, you know?
Yeah.
It's this idea of perfect peace, perfect harmony. And then we go back to John 3:16, you know, as the crescendo of it all. For God so loved, he gave us love, you know, that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why it matters. You know, it is such a magnificent story because it's true. It's one of those beautiful pieces of history. And recently, you know, the history, you know, the historians writing down what's happening today in the world is people will read it in the future and say, I can't believe that happened. But the greater historical event that ever happened that overshadows everything that's bad today is the hope that we have in Jesus, a hope not of a wishy-washy hope, but the assurance of knowing that God is in control. And when the time is right, when God calls us home, our home is in heaven, we will live in that perfect peace and harmony forever. We have to keep this in mind during these tough days that we're going through right now.
Just an incredible truth of what God has done for us in the resurrection. Nancy, this is just absolutely spot on. So glad we got to unpack this one today. We're going to point everybody in the direction of anchorsaway.org, and also want to tell you can find links over at kellyandsteve.org in the resources section, but check things out. Be sure to get your child registered if they are of high school age.
Get your child's all signed up.
You want to get them signed up. And you yourself get online and take the online program as well and develop that biblical worldview that we need. Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away, thank you so much.
Thank you, both of you. Blessings.
You too.
Blessings to you.